today I want to just talk a little bit about having passion for the ministry and how we can get that passion, how we can work to keep that passion. And I'd like to begin with a word of prayer, and then we'll jump right into some scripture and hopefully a few things that will help you today. Heavenly Father, I'm grateful to be a part of this wonderful ministry here, Lord, and I thank you that you saved me and that you called me to serve you. And I pray that you guide me now today as I speak, Lord. Help my words to edify you and to be an encouragement to these ladies. I pray that I wouldn't say anything you don't want me to say. I pray that we would each have a passion for you and for the ministries that you called us to. I pray that you give us strength. Bless our hearts the rest of this conference as well, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. Colossians 3, 17 and 23. Are those in your notes? I don't know how much gave you. In fact, is there one of those floating around? Could I get one of those? It's hard. Thank you. And then feel to resupply her there. All right. I didn't know how much they put on there. And it's always embarrassing when you're acting like you should know it and you don't, or I'm, quoting very slowly something I want you to say, and it's already written out there for you. So Colossians 3, 17 and 23, these popped into my mind immediately when I thought of passion for the ministry. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Some of the words that pop out to me there, first of all, are the words thanks, and this isn't even the lesson yet, but if you're thankful, it's hard to be grumpy about something, just that attitude of thankfulness. And verse 23, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. The American Heritage College Dictionary defines passion as boundless enthusiasm. Boundless enthusiasm. Well, that's kind of a secular definition, and to me it seems a little superficial. They can come in if they need to. The Merriam-Webster's dictionary describes passion as a strong liking or desire for some activity, some object, or some concept, some strong liking or desire for something. And I've heard passion defined as this, and I like this definition, fullness of heart. Passion, come on in, ladies. Fullness of heart.
Fullness, right?
Fullness, yes. My heart is full. There have been moments when my heart has felt full. I've been sitting in a church service, and that man we've been praying for, my friend's husband, or that hard case comes forward for the invitation, and you see his soul gets, and your heart's just full. Do you just, you have moments like that where you feel like you could burst with joy for the Lord, your fullness of heart. And there are times when you're teaching a class and you leave and your heart is full. You just, wow, Lord, I just connected with those young girls today, or I feel like lives were touched and lives were changed. Or maybe you sing in the choir and whoa, that song just, people were amening and woohoo, it's wonderful. And your heart feels full, passion. But you know what? There are many days that I walk out of a class and I will be like, woohoo, I made a great connection. I feel like, God, I said what I thought I was supposed to say, and they walked out and I got a couple of smiles and a nod. But passion, is it always that feeling? What makes your heart feel full? What makes your heart feel full? Maybe we all have different passions, right? Maybe it's something like teaching a class. Maybe you feel comfortable standing up in front of a group teaching. Maybe that would scare you half to death. There's another lady there. What about working on a bus route? Do working with underprivileged children make your heart feel full? What about working in the nursery, holding those babies? Does that make your heart feel full? Singing in the choir, maybe playing an instrument in the orchestra, greeting visitors as they come in, cleaning the buildings. Some ladies feel feel fulfilled by doing cleaning. That is a wonderful thing. Cooking meals for others. I bake cookies for my college students. It makes my heart feel full when I can bring cookies to my college students. They're away from home. They miss their mom. They may be on the brink of deciding whether to stay or go. Go home. And just a homemade cookie from a mom. I'm a mom. I'm not their mom. But just that homemade cookie can do something for them that may make them change their minds. And that makes my heart feel full. Maybe shaking a hand of a visitor or someone in the aisle near you. Or giving a hug. We could all use a hug every once in a while. And not everyone has someone in their life that can give them that hug. I think of single moms. I think of widow ladies. I think of people who don't have someone in their home all the time for a hug. Are we there for that hug? And giving that hug, that's as important as teaching a lesson or preaching a sermon or singing in the choir. We all have different passions, right? Is there something that you used to do? Maybe it's one of these things. One of these things you used to be passionate about, and those feelings are fading. Or maybe they're wearing off a little bit, or maybe the passion that you used to have for something has just disappeared altogether. Well, sometimes the honeymoon, it's just over. Is the honeymoon over? Yeah? Do you feel like quitting that ministry? You know what? It's time to get our passion back. And I'm going to give you some points today that will hopefully help us get our passion back. First of all, passion is a choice. Passion is a choice. Now, I've been married 18 and a half years. I love my husband. But let me tell you what, I do not feel passionate about my marriage all of the time. Sometimes I have to make myself be involved. I would just like nothing better than to go into a room, close the door, and be alone. But sometimes you can't do that. So passion is a choice. You have to choose to be passionate. And I have four little points underneath here. You've heard the little maybe nursery rhyme kind of thing. Well, it's not even a nursery rhyme because it's not very nice. Finders keepers, losers weepers. Have you heard that? My four points under passion is a choice is find it, keep it, lose it, and weep it. Find it, keep it, lose it, and weep it. I thought you could remember those. I like a nice rhyming kind of a thing. So first, find your passion. Find it, and I'll say them again. Find it. Let's start with find it. We aren't all passionate about the same things. Mm-hmm. And before we can find something truly to invest our lives in, we need to find that passion. Now, I worked in a bus ministry for several years. Bus ministry was not my passion. I get very motion sick. When I get motion sick, I get migraines. When I get migraines, I need to go in a dark room for several days. Okay, bus ministry was not the area that I needed to be passionate about. I needed something where I could keep my feet on the ground. But I felt guilt and pressure to be in the bus ministry because that's what you do. If you love God, this particular place I was, if you love God, you'll be in the bus ministry. You don't care about children, you know. Well, no, that wasn't it at all. But I did become physically sick every time I rode on the bus. So for several years, on a Sunday, I was always sick, and then I always had a migraine up through Tuesday sometimes. And it was hard to be passionate about that. But our passions aren't all the same. I found that teaching is something I can get passionate about. Baking cookies is something I can get passionate about. Singing in the choir, playing an instrument. There are many areas of service, and they're all not the same. Listen to this verse, Romans 12, 4 and 5. Romans 12, 4 and 5. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Okay? We're all one body, but we would be a strange looking body, and you've heard this before, if we were all made of feet, or if we were all made of hands, or if we were all made of ears, or whatever the case may be. If all we were is a bunch of mouths and we weren't any serving hands, we'd be a funny looking body. Okay, so we're all members of the same body, but we all have to serve our own function, our own ministry within that body. And then we're not all passionate about the same thing. Secondly, don't feel guilty if you don't love every aspect of ministry. Hey, don't feel guilty. You know, ladies, I don't know about you, but I can guilt myself into feeling horrible about things. I have a hard time saying no because I'm a pleaser. I like people to say, oh, thank you. I don't like to say, I'm sorry, I can't. But sometimes we have to say no. And we don't have to feel guilty if you don't love the bus ministry. Or if, you know what? If someone asks you to teach a class and you would, the thought physically makes you want to throw up, it's okay to say no. Okay, ladies, we need to get that in our head. It's okay to say no. We all don't have to love every aspect of ministry. Listen as Romans 12 goes on, starting in verse 6, to say, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy. And it goes on to talk about whether we're ministry or teaching or exhorting or giving or ruling. There's all these different things. Showing mercy. We all could find something in there that we could be passionate about. But you know what? I'm not passionate about all of those things. And you're probably not either. And that's okay because we have gifts differing. It doesn't say, y'all do all of these or else, right? It does not say that. And then it says this in verse 9, let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. All of these are good. None of them are bad. They're all good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. Don't judge each other because you don't have the same passions. Be kindly affectioned one to another. This is not necessarily talking about the children we're serving. That's talking about the workers. Aren't we talking about the members right now of the body? We're talking about the members of the body serving together. And then it says, be kindly affectioned one to another. We have different gifts. Well, she wouldn't clean the bathrooms if you put a gun to her head, Miss Prissy, with her fancy nails. Okay, do you know what she might do? You don't know. Or that lady, she just cleans the bathroom. She can't sing. She's not in the choir like me. You know, we don't say it quite like that, but I just this morning, in fact, heard a conversation between a couple of delegates about a speaker, a style they particularly didn't care for. And you know what? It may not have been their cup of tea, but it was somebody's cup of tea, right? And so we ladies, boy, we can just be quick to jump on each other. Let love be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Let's give each other the benefit of the doubt. You don't know that that lady may take the dirty, spit up rags from the nursery home and wash them. She may not come to everything that you come to, but you don't know what she's doing. And you don't know where she is in her personal life, her spiritual life, her health. You know, well, she wasn't at the prayer meeting at such and such a time. Maybe she had a migraine because she was on the bus all day Sunday. You know? We just need to think about those things, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. You know, if you're fervent in serving, you don't have time to be criticizing what some other lady is doing. So don't feel guilty if you don't have a certain aspect of ministry that you have that certain passion for. It goes on to say in Romans, I love the book of Romans, but Romans 12, 14, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Let it go. Let it go. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Weep with them that weep. Verse 16. Be of the same mind one toward another. Again, we don't have to be doing the same job to share that unity, that one mind. Mind not high things. Condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Oh, you know, I'm better than that. No. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. I love Romans chapter 12. That's a good one. I could read that one every day. I need it every day for sure. You know, you have to find it. Remember, that's our first point. Find that ministry. If you happen to be in a ministry, we don't always have a choice. Maybe you're starting a new church and, you know, you're the only one who can play the piano and you hate to play the piano and you only know three songs and you know them very poorly and you, but you know what? Do that job with a good spirit until the Lord, and be constantly praying, Lord, send someone to take my place here, and the Lord will take care, you know, he'll take care of it. He will do one of two things. Maybe you have to run the nursery or the children's church and you don't want to do that, or maybe you have to clean the bathrooms and you don't want to do that. But you know what? Pray for one of two things, that the Lord will send someone to take that position from you, or change your heart.
Amen.
Or change your heart. And the Lord has done that for me so many times. He has changed my heart. Before we moved here 4 years ago, I told the Lord, I will live anywhere, Lord, I will serve you anywhere, but I do not want to go west of the Mississippi. All my family's in Michigan, and I don't want to go to a big church. I love it here. Guess what? The Lord changed my heart. All right, so letter A is find it. Letter B is keep it. When you find that passion, then how are you going to keep that passion? You know what? Passion's not going to be the same every day. You're not going to wake up every morning, oh, let's go do such and such. But when you feel it start to slip, revisit why you're doing what you're doing in the first place. Just revisit why. Remember when you surrendered to that. Or remember the day you got saved. Go back and just talk to God and say, you know what, I'm doing this for you. Revisit why you felt that passion in the first place. And then remember, when you're serving others, though they may not be saying thank you every time, the babies in the nursery probably don't say thank you. and the mothers sometimes they're frustrated too. They're tired. They probably were serving in some other area. They pick up that baby from you and they don't say thank you. In fact, they may say, where's her blanket? Can I get her sippy cup? Come on, you guys always leave her sippy cup in there. I think I have 13 sippy cups in this nursery. It cost me $27 this week to replace all the sippy, you know, and she's going off on something, hormones or whatever. We all have them. But don't do it for that thank you. Remember, when you serve others, you're serving the Lord. And also, we're going to get those rewards in heaven. You know, when you someday walk the streets of gold and a young man walks up to you, and it was someone you took care of in the nursery, or you taught Sunday school too. Woohoo! You know, you just have to keep that passion. Three is lose it. And I don't mean lose your passion. I mean lose yourself. Lose it. When I get teaching sometimes, you know what? I lose it. Miss Fry has been in my classes before. I could teach piano and I can preach piano. I teach English, I could preach English. I got going on European history the other day and woohoo, I was having a moment. I can lose myself in what I'm doing. And we get sometimes so worried about how we look before we go. And we forget that, you know what, those boys and girls don't really care They don't really care. They don't care how many layers of foundation or what, you know, I didn't do my eyebrows today. Oh, you know, and we're all worried that people are looking at us like that, right? We're so superficial sometimes. But it's not that. Lose yourself in people. Passion is contagious, right? And if you're passionate, I teach freshman English here in the college. College students don't go to Bible college because they want to study English. They want to study Bible. They want to take if they're musicians or missionaries or what they want to take those courses. They have to take English. But you know what? I can get them passionate about English because I'm passionate about English. And it's contagious. And every semester I have students come up to me and said, I've hated English since I was in first grade. You know, when the first time they said, here's an exclamation point, here's a period. I've hated it. I didn't understand it. It was so dull. But you know what? This class was kind of fun. And I say, praise the Lord, my passion conveyed to them. So lose yourself in the ministry, and you will find, if you give your whole heart, that you will find that you will love it. You will love it if you give your whole heart. If you hold something back, you're not going to like it. And then the last one is weep it. Find it, keep it, lose it, weep it. As in, you know, boo-hoo. Let your heart break. Yeah, I know, you've heard the finders keepers, losers weepers, so weep it. And what I'm saying here is, you know what, let your heart break. For the ministry. Let your heart break for it. Look at people. People are hurting. People are sad. People are lonely. People need us. Isn't that what the ministry is about? So lose yourself in it and then weep for people. Weep for the lost. Weep for the lonely. You know, there's no shame in shedding tears. I stood behind this lectern up on the third floor. It wasn't this one. It was in the third floor. I stood behind a lectern that looks just like it, this in 308 a couple of weeks ago, and I stood in front of 16 history teachers-to-be. I teach a teaching history class, and I could not stop crying. And the reason I could not stop crying is because one of the girls sitting right over there, she is a wonderful young lady, and she loves the Lord with all of her heart, and she's going to serve him, and so are many of her siblings. Some of them are already in the ministry. And she lost her mother a few years ago with a little boy shortly after she had had a little boy, and he's 5 or 6 years old now. And we'd gone through the room and talked about our most influential teacher, and her most influential teacher was her mother, who taught at her Christian school and had changed her life. And if her girls, the Harvin girls, if you know who they are, if those girls are any indication of what Mrs. Harvin was like, what a godly, godly woman. But after I listened to each of these students who had written a paper about their most influential teacher, what I was going to say is, now I want you to send that to that teacher. Because we hear as teachers what we do wrong, but we don't often hear what we do right. And, I couldn't stop. And I looked over at Brittany and I said, you know what, your mom already knows. She already knows. She's getting that reward in heaven. And woohoo, you know. And we all had a moment there. And that was at 7:45 in the morning. I started out my day weeping in front of my students the first week, you know. And I thought, you know what, that's okay. It's okay. People need to see your heart and your passion. And passion is not always woohoo. Sometimes passion is, thank you, God. Thank you. You know, thank you for my mom. I called my mom that day. She's in her 70s. Mom, thank you. Thank you for being the kind of mother that let me do what I'm doing now and giving me a passion for whatever I do. And don't be afraid to weep. It's okay. Now, if you cry all the time, you know, go get some hormone therapy or something. But, you know, but sometimes we just cry. And you know what? You realize the ministry is about people. And if you realize it is, you will have a passion. You will have a passion. All right, Roman numeral 2. Passion requires work. It requires work. I wish I could say, okay, how many of you are married? How many of you are married? How many of you are mothers? Okay, hardest thing I've ever done, be married and have children. Greatest thing, hardest thing. It takes work. Marriage takes work. Parenting takes work. Okay, mine are 9 and 11 now, so it's actually, every now and then I get a moment of peace. You know, but there were years there where I thought, I am never alone. I am never alone. They're just always there, right? And I love them, but, you know, keep out. You want to put a sign. You know, it takes work. And it's like anything that's important, it takes work. And the best advice I can give for passion taking work is you just need to get involved. Just need to get involved. You know what? Passion, the work that it takes, it may inconvenience you. Having passion for a ministry may inconvenience you. It may require you don't get to stay home on whatever night and watch your favorite show, or you don't get to get your nails done as often as you want, or you know, you spend a lot of time sitting in a car waiting for your children who are involved in ministries at the church, or you drive back and forth. I live 4.5 miles from campus. You drive back and forth 5 times a day because you got to get to this and you got to get to this, and then you got soul winning and you got this, and then you got this ladies thing and you got to do that, and I volunteered to help decorate, so I'm going to go do that. And it means running all over the place and back and forth, and you may be inconvenienced. It may cost a couple extra bucks in gas, especially right now. It may cost a couple other extra dozen bucks in gas. But it may be inconveniencing, but think about what your priorities are, and you need to triage them. That's the word I use. I need to triage my priorities, you know, like getting my nails done, because like you all noticed that, right? You all right now know the status of my fingernails.
Only after pointed it out.
Yeah, no, yeah. They're not good. Okay. Yeah. Yes, can have good nails and be a pianist, and I like to garden as well. So you might find the odd, you know, bit of soil, but I'll try to keep that away. But you know what? We have to triage those responsibilities. I think of it like this: don't wear yourself out on the silly stuff. And we ladies can get so wrapped up with the silly stuff. As a mother of a 9 and an 11-year-old, I could spend my life running my children to stuff, you know? But in the long run, when your kids are 20 and 30 or in the ministry or whatever they're doing at that point, do you think they're gonna look back, okay, how many of us use those ballet lessons, really? Or those karate lessons, really? You know, we plan our schedule so full. And this is what your kids are going to remember, that well, you were taking them to karate or ballet or swimming lessons or gymnastics or whatever the case may be, and those are not bad things. But while we're doing all of that, we're frantic, we're screaming, I can't believe I'm driving all over this town again, and we drop them, hurry up, get out, I'm pulled. When I stop this car, that means you undo that seatbelt and you get out of the car. I should not have to sit here for 5 minutes waiting for you. Mothers, you been there? Yeah? Yeah, when you, yeah. And you're this shrieking, crazy shrew of a mother, but your kids got ballet lessons and your kids got to their gymnastics class, but, you know, and get it done because we have to get back for soul winning. You know, wow. You know, I've been there. It's time to go, whoop, time out. You know what? We need to go home. We need to get our minds and hearts right. We've got soul winning tonight. This frantic, crazy schedule that we put ourselves on, just eliminate the silly stuff and don't wear yourself out in that. You know, if that's the kind of example we are in ministry, are those who watch us going to want what we want? Ooh, I want to be in the ministry because it looks so fun. Apparently you scream a lot when you're in the ministry. And number three, passion must be planned. Passion must be planned. You've probably heard this at a couple's retreat or something. You know, you need to plan that time alone with your husband. It's true. Okay, you're New Year's, you're going to start exercising. I'm going to get up every morning and I'm going to walk. Or I'm going to get on that treadmill. Or I'm going to join that gym. Or I'm going to do whatever. And you just, okay, so what am I going to do? On Monday, we'll just see how the schedule fits. And if I can fit that in, I will. Are you going to do it? Of course not. You need to say, I am going to do this at this time, and maybe if you plan it, it will actually happen. Whether it's weight loss or exercise program, time alone with your husband, alone time or one-on-one time with your children, a time for a craft or some hobby that you want to pursue, no matter what it is, it takes planning. You don't just say, we'll see what happens later this afternoon. Then I'll decide if I'm going to go grocery shopping or not. Or, you know, you have to plan these things. Schedule time to think about your ministry. And schedule time to pray for your ministry. You need to schedule time for that. I have a very busy schedule. If I go home, I have an office here on campus. If I go home and say, I am going to go home and work on my, you know, class or my session for the ladies' conference, I go home and I sit down at the dining room table where I do my work, and I look out the window and I see that the grass is really growing quite long. And I see that the pool is turning green, and I see that there are dishes in the sink, and I see that there's laundry that needs to be done, and I see that there is some dust. And I just happen to know that we're down to the last about inch of milk, and oh, wow, you know, I'm not going to get much thought, I'm not going to get much time focused on what I need to focus on because I'm looking at all these distractions. I need to plan a time and a place without distractions. And that's true of our ministries as well. You have girls in a Sunday school class, or you have people that you care for. You've got whatever your ministry is, you've got something that you do in the church. You need to schedule time to think about that and to pray for it and to focus on it. Get those notes written. Get those cookies baked or whatever. But you need to schedule time and plan to do that. When I have an area of ministry, I need to get there early so that I can get my mind and heart ready. Do you find that to be true? This running in at the last minute, you're pulling into the parking lot, then in the kids, I stopped the car, I put it in park, I turned off the key. Why are you still sitting in your seats with your seatbelts fastened? Right? Because what is it about? Some of you know this, because I can see you're commiserating with me here. Yeah. When we stop this car, I want you to act, look around. We've stopped, we're here, get out. But mine will be like, oh, you know, and I'm standing there. And then the doors are locked, because the first thing I do, I take the key out, you know, put it in my purse, and then I lock my doors open, I lock the door. Minivan, you know, with the sliding doors here. I'm minivan mom. And then my kids, we can't, the doors are locked. I'm like, that's because your window of opportunity is over. You now are stuck in the car. 100 years you're staying here. Yeah, it's 100 degrees outside, you're staying in this car. Yeah, but of course not. But then you're, then... Now I'm late and I got to get, you know what? Don't do that to yourself. Arrive 15 minutes early if it takes you, and you have to explain this to men, okay? If it takes you 5 minutes to get to church, you cannot leave at 5 till.
No.
That means you'll be on the property when you're supposed to be in your position.
Yeah.
Yes. You got to think of parking. And if you arrive at 5 till or at that early, there's no parking spots here. You have to park way out in Palmdale. So you might as well just, you know, not plan to be there at all. But you need to leave early and you need to get there and then take some time. I've been a church pianist for forever. I can't run in at 5 minutes till or 2 minutes till and have my heart and soul ready for a church service. I want to look through the hymns and make sure that I'm comfortable with them. I want to be able to talk to some people and smile at some people and have a conversation, because I can't mingle during the handshake time. I mean, I'm not here. I'm not the pianist here anymore, but for all the years of my life that I was, it's not like I can leave the piano and go shake hands. So I need to think of these things ahead of time. But it just gets my heart right. It gets my spirit right. It gets me in that mode for ministry. If you have a Sunday school class and all of your students are there and you come running in, you know, what does that show? Well, you fit somewhere in my schedule. But if you're there to greet them and to smile at them and welcome them, you know what? Smiling and exchanging those little conversations with those kids gets my heart so ready to teach. Hey, tell me about your week. Did you do this? How's your mom? And that baby, how's the baby? Does she cry all night? You know, and you've got this rapport. If you just walk in as a stranger, hello, class, I'm here. I'm busy. I just yelled at my kids in the parking lot, but I'm ready to teach you. You know, we need to arrive early for your area of ministry. Get your heart and your mind ready. And then to be accountable to someone for your ministry. Be accountable to someone. This really is advice for those moments when the passion is kind of waning. Oh, I just don't feel like going soul winning tonight. I mean, you know, no one will know if I'm not there.
God forgives me, sure, so they will.
But what if you're supposed to pick someone else up? You know, oh, Miss Fine, I'm going to stop by and pick you up for soul winning. And then when it's time for me to leave for soul winning, and I know I either have to call her and say, you know what, I'm not going to make it tonight.
That's right.
And then that inconveniences her.
Sure.
And she's my accountability partner. I'm going to pick her up. And then no matter how I feel, I'm going to say, you know what, I'm going to go. Because you know what, once I get there, I'm going to be glad I did. But right now I'm tired. And I just kicked my shoes off and put my flip-flops on when I got home from work. And now I got to go put those shoes back on. And I don't want to do, you know, or whatever the case may be. And it's hot and it's this and I'm tired and all of these kinds of things. But if I have an accountability partner, then I'm going to be there. So have a ministry buddy, someone like that, that helps you get involved. You know, share a ride or agree to pick someone up. Invest in sometimes a younger or weaker Christian. If you're going to meet and go visiting with a new Christian in your church, or a lady that you've been working on, she's been in church a long time but she never goes out soul winning, come visit my Sunday school girls with me. I'll meet you at 7 o'clock. Don't be late. I tell you what, at 6:45, when you're thinking, I don't want to go, you're going to go, because you don't want to let that lady down. She's counting on you. I like the verse in Proverbs 27, verse 17, Proverbs 27, 17. You know what it says? Iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. I am not always passionate about what I do, but I have surrounded myself with people who are passionate about what they do. And when I'm not passionate, they are, and sometimes when they're not, I am. And we feed off each other. I tell you what, if you surround yourself with people that are critical and depressed all the time, we all have moments where we feel depressed. I'm not saying we can't have a down day, but if you surround yourself with critics and you surround yourself with gossipers, then when you're starting, when you have that moment where the passion's kind of starting to wane, they're just gonna suck the life right out of you. But if you surround yourself with passionate people and you have a down day, they're gonna lift you up. They're gonna reinflate that balloon. They're gonna help you out. So invest in younger Christians, invest in, spend time with ministry people who can encourage you. And then this is something else that I think is just very practical. Volunteer to bring a snack, make the coffee, or in your Sunday school class, or take the nursery laundry home or something. Because if you do that, you have to be there. You know, this is, I always sign up for stuff. And I have seen dozens of times in this church where a new family comes in, and right off the bat, someone will say, oh, can you bring the snack next week? What? You know, to Sunday school class. But you know what? You bring the snack next week. They may not understand everything about our church. They may think we're a little weird or whatever. But yes, but you're getting them involved. And so all of a sudden, they have to bring the snack. Can you bring a coffee cake, or, you know, pick up a dozen donuts? Or you know what? We need someone to make the coffee every week in Sunday school class. Could you come 10 minutes early and just get the coffee, you know, go down here to where the water is and get this? And they have a reason to come. They may not feel comfortable small talking with everyone yet, but they have something. Do you feel better when you've got something to do with your hands?
Sure.
I am so much that way. So give them a job to do. Can you hand out the bulletins to a gentleman in the class or a lady? It doesn't matter. Can you just stand here and hand out the bulletins? Or in the nursery, could you come to the nursery and could you lay out a clean stack of burp cloths here? And could you lay out some what do you call those things? Receiving blankets. My kids have grown up a little bit. I'm out of that era. The receiving blankets here. We need to get someone to, we use these dry erase boards. Could you erase the dry erase board for us and get the pen ready and have it there? Give them a responsibility like that. They like that, and it motivates us to come, and it gives us something to do with our hands, so we're not just standing there, oh, what do I do, right? Don't you like to be given a job to do? I really do, too. And honestly, you know, do we feel passionate about our marriages all the time? No. Do we feel, you know, do we love our screaming, fighting kids all the time, or sometimes we just want to, you know? Do you always love doing laundry? Do you always love doing housework? I mean, no. Passion, you know what? Passion is not this feeling that, well, if I have passion, I'll do it. If I don't, I won't. Passion is a choice. It takes a lot of hard work to be passionate, and it's something you have to plan. 1 Samuel 12:24 says this, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he hath done for you. They call the crucifixion of Christ the passion, his passion. In comparison to his passion, there is nothing that I can do that will measure up to that. But when I look at that, when I have those moments where my passion starts to slide and I look at that, I can say, wow, Lord, you did that for me. Didn't complain. You did it with a forgiving spirit. And you encourage me every day. I just want a portion of that. Consider what great things he hath done for you. It's a little easier to be passionate about what we do. Let's have a word of prayer and I'll let you go. Heavenly Father, so grateful for these ladies and their attention today, Lord. I pray that anything I said may have encouraged them and helped them, and maybe they can pass it on to ladies in their own areas of ministry. I pray that you would bless our lunchtime now and the evening service and the services tomorrow, that you would just continue to help us and to challenge us, and pray that you would keep us faithful and help us to be influential in a generation of fellow Christians who are coming behind us, Lord. I pray that that we would be able to strengthen them. I pray that you would keep us faithful until you return. In your name I pray, amen.